Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Continental Extreme Contact DWS 06 Plus. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Thursday, December 29th. We have a monster podcast today. Great guest, Pat Forty. You know him from ESPN. He's now at Sports Illustrated, previewing the national semifinals Saturday. Great day in college football Saturday. Sunday, obviously, NFL is packed. But first, before we have any talk about college football, we got to get to Rob G's Raiders. Oh, boy. Listen, sometimes you're on something early and you have a direct hit and you feel good. I mean, you're ahead of everybody on this. And I have been beating the drum about Derek Carr, the out in the offseason, how poorly he played. You can even look up the tweet that I had a couple weeks ago in that Patriots game where he threw that abomination of a pick six. Okay? And I said, I'm surprised McDaniels didn't bench him. Like, that was the kind of thing that, like, flipped the game. And McDaniels announced on Wednesday that he had had enough of Derek Carr and he was going to the bench. Benching a guy you just gave a $120 million extension to like 6 months ago, maybe 7 months. Rob, obviously we had to, I was going to do an emergency podcast instantly right after, but I wanted to let it settle. Let Rob sleep on it before he says anything irrational. Longtime Raiders fan. He liked Derek Carr. We talked about Derek Carr twice this week. It was as if we knew this was coming. And folks, I need to turn it over to Rob just to see how he's handling the Derek Carr news.
Well, not well, obviously. I mean, look, we talked about this a few times this week already. I have no issue with moving on from Derek Carr. I get it. You know, if he hasn't won a playoff game by now, I understand. The problem then is, who are you going to get that's going to be an upgrade? It's not going to be Tom Brady. He's all caps washed.
Whoa. You're saying, you think he's washed, but you don't think they would go after him?
Oh, I think they would, but I don't think it's an upgrade. Okay. You know what I mean? Can you get Aaron Rodgers? Maybe. I doubt it. Are you willing to give up all your draft picks again after just doing it to get Devontae Adams, to get Lamar Jackson? Maybe. I don't know. But the way this all went down, to me, screams Josh McDaniels is trying to save his own ass by getting rid of the quarterback under the guise of, well, I need a guy to fit my system, so let me draft a project, because they're not going to be able to get C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, I don't think, where they're going to be picking. Let's get a Will Levis. Let's get an Anthony Richardson project, you know, big strong. They look the type guys who realistically are not ready to play in the NFL. So now we're going to suck for another 3 years while he quote unquote develops them. And it is what it is. It's just, it's frustrating to know that the Raiders are going to continue to suck for the foreseeable future. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's got to be disappointing as a Raiders fan. You go to the playoffs last year with the interim coach. I know they kind of snuck in negative point differential, blah, blah, blah. You upgrade, theoretically, a coach with McDaniels. You upgrade at receiver, obviously, with Devontae Adams. I mean, I still remember the day you guys got Adams, and I think we were on the podcast like, who's stopping this offense? Third and Renfro, Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller? And it has just been one disaster after another. Now, Rob, I know this is not going to be popular. I actually didn't like the timing of the benching because I'm going to ask you this. If you are a team in need of a quarterback, say my Jets, okay? Let's say you are Pittsburgh would probably use a quarterback, although they probably stick with Pickett. Atlanta, Tennessee. There's a lot of guys out there, at least 10 teams in the market for a quarterback. If you know damn well that the Raiders are going to be cutting Derek Carr, releasing him, if they have no deals that they like, due to his, I think it's 3 days after the regular season is when his big money.
3 days after the Super Bowl.
After the Super Bowl, sorry. Yep. 3 days after the Super Bowl, the big money kicks in. So they're going to try to trade him, but if not, then they're going to release him. Now, if I'm a team wanting a quarterback, Rob, my asking price just dropped dramatically because I know you're not keeping him under any circumstances, right? Unless you can get this bidding war, you can McDaniels can create some bidding war out of thin air where all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, this team and that team and, oh, they want, you know, I'm sure they're going to use reporters. I'm not going to say any names, but when you're saying 2 seconds is the asking price or some garbage like that, nobody's giving up 2 seconds for Derek Carr. I know Russell Wilson fetched, what was it, 5 picks and 3 players? You're not getting anything like that. And obviously it's looking like Russell Wilson was overpaid. Rob, I don't know. If I'm the Jets, you know, Zach Wilson, we're done with him. Mike White's our guy. But you know what? I'll call up and see, can Derek Carr be had for a 6th this year and a 6th next year? And if you're the
Raiders... Jeez Louise. Well, holy moly.
I mean, he's going to hit the market, and then it becomes like, well, what do you want to bid for this guy, right?
Yeah, so, well, the one thing that Derek Carr did do right with his contract, or his agents at least, is they gave him a no-trade clause. So if I'm Derek Carr, what I'm telling my agents is, let's defer the guaranteed money deadline rather than being the third. Let's push it out until the draft or whatever, you know, day you pick to ensure that you can dictate where you go and you get the salary that you're looking for. Because if they cut him, there's no way he's going to get anything close to the $40 million he currently has coming to him.
That's a great point.
So if I'm him, I'm saying let's push it off to April or whatever it is. And I pick where I want to go. I think you brought up a handful of teams. I think they make sense. Tennessee. I think the Jets, I think actually would be the favorites if I had to pick today, would be the Jets. I could see him saying, let's wait, push it off. So that way when I negotiate this trade, rather than me taking $20 million off, I can do it taking $10 million off the deal. You know what I mean? Just so I can go where I want to go.
Yeah. So hold on. Jimmy Garoppolo, will he get $30 million a year?
No.
I mean, Dak Prescott's making 40-something.
Yeah, but Jimmy's injury history. That's the reason. That's the only reason.
I actually think 30 is like a discount. I know that sounds crazy. Okay, so if what's Jimmy getting, 20?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
20,
so
25.
If he's getting 20, what's Derek Carr getting? He doesn't have an injury history. He's coming off the worst season.
Yeah, he's gonna get like 30. I think he's going to be the crown jewel, so to speak, of the free agent class or whatever, the trade market of quarterbacks.
Well, it is interesting. Carr, I think, is older than Jimmy G, but Jimmy G does have the injury history. But memory serves, Carr's never won a playoff game.
Correct.
Jimmy G has been on a team that has made some playoff runs, correct? Yeah, I don't. This is a tough one. Those two are the cream of the crop. I don't even know if there's a third. Like Ryan Tannehill, I'm not in on that guy. You know, I don't think Daniel Jones is in that class of, you know, do we look at Daniel Jones?
No.
Yeah, this is going to be very interesting. So why, I just got to go back to Tom Brady. I personally think it'll be Brady. I don't think McDaniels would do this if he didn't have a game plan. And I don't think the game plan involves like a rookie quarterback, like Will Levis or something. Those guys just take a little while to get up to speed. And I don't know, McDaniels has a lot of time. Or if he's going to feel under the gun. Remember, how long did he last in Denver? Was it like 30 games and he got fired?
Season and a half.
Yeah, not even 30. So, I mean, I know the Raiders don't want to fire him, but it's like, listen, they're going to have to get a quarterback. And other than Jimmy G and Brady, I mean, who does McDaniels know? Who's obviously going to want to go there with McDaniels if you don't have that history with him?
Exactly. Well, that's one thing that Josh McDaniels does have in his favor is he and the GM are a package deal. So they came together. That would allow you, I guess, to have a longer rebuild than some other coaches might who where, especially if the GM didn't pick the coach, you know, something like that, that's happened throughout the NFL.
Yeah.
The other thing he has going for him is that Mark Davis is the poorest billionaire there is, if there's such a thing, right? Like he doesn't actually have the cash assets to keep paying off new coaches. He's one of those guys who's leveraged so deep and he has so many, you know, contributors to his franchise that he, like the Chargers owner, can't just afford to pay these fully guaranteed contracts out like no big deal like some of these other guys can. And as interesting as the whole Derek Carr thing is, kind of buried deep into the weeds of this whole thing is what happens with Davante Adams? Because he made it very clear when he left Green Bay, he didn't want to leave Green Bay. He liked playing with Aaron Rodgers, but the uncertainty surrounding Rodgers' future is why he ultimately decided that he'd rather be in Vegas because, let me just, direct quote, let me read it to you. I got aspirations of doing really, really big things and being remembered. And it just wasn't really a point in my career that I was willing to sacrifice Aaron not being there after a year or two. So if you're Josh McDaniels and you can't get whatever, Tom Brady, Aaron, whoever, and you have to draft a quarterback, you don't think Davante Adams is going to ask out too? So suddenly that 2 or 3 year rebuild becomes a 3 to 4 year rebuild because you're going to trade Davante Adams too.
Yeah.
And he has that working for him where he's going to have this security knowing that it's a rebuilding situation and I'm not going anywhere.
Well, if you can get Tom Brady, I don't think Davante Adams is going to be that unhappy. Playing with Rodgers and Tom Brady in his career.
Well, yeah, of course. But
let me toss two other quarterbacks at you just because I was going down the list. So the Green Bay Packers have barely showcased Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. I think he's been in the league 3 years, not played a ton. The one time he played this year, I didn't think he looked terrible. Again, it was very limited. I even forget the opponent. Was it the Eagles? I don't know. Whoever it was.
He came on in relief?
Yeah, Jordan Love came on for like half a game. Does Jordan Love excite you at all?
No.
Okay.
Because if he was, then he'd be playing now, if that was the case.
Baker Mayfield.
No.
Okay, that was a very quick no. Jameis Winston.
As a bridge, maybe.
Interesting. Because he's kind of out there, right?
Right.
I don't think you can get
him for dirt cheap, too.
Yeah, exactly. And then maybe are you convincing Davante Adams to stay? You know, listen, if you are able to trade Carr, get some picks, 4th and a 6th, 5th and a whatever, and you're able to trade Waller and get a pick or two, now you got some prospects, right? And you were able to keep Adams, and you were able to keep Renfro. I thought Mac Hollins was pretty damn good this year. I don't know about you. But the only other quarterback I can really think of that may have any appeal, and it's probably the answer is no, Matt Ryan.
No.
I was going to expect a hell no, but I just thought I'd mention that. Yeah. So listen, quarterback carousel is very fun. Rob, I'll pour some out tonight while I'm watching bad college football games for your Derek Carr tenure with the Raiders. It was pretty good run. Didn't win a playoff game, but I think they went to the playoffs twice. He was injured in one.
Yeah, he had an MVP type season and broke his leg in week 15.
Yeah, and then lost.
And he had, I'm almost positive, he had statistically the worst defense for like 7 of his years as a starter.
Unlucky. Anyways, all right, that's enough on Derek Carr. Let's get to our guest, Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Vredestein tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Vredestein test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, let's welcome into Straight Fire a guest. You know him. He's been covering college football, geez, two decades, three? I mean, I remember reading this guy at all his stops. He's been pretty much everywhere in the industry, I guess, Pat. Pat 40, SI.com, Sports Illustrated. Can I call you a legend in the industry, Pat?
No, not if you want to be accurate. I've just been around a while.
I guess you got to know the sport as well as anybody. Bull season, Pat, I got to be honest. It's been a tough one so far. Tough to get motivated about some of these games. A lot of opt-outs. The coaching carousel's been eh. I don't know. How would you characterize it so far?
Yeah, I think that's a good characterization. You know, there haven't been many really like exciting, dramatic bowl games so far. You know, we got the usual, you know, a lot of 6-6 matchups and teams from smaller conferences. It'll get a little bit better as we keep going on here. But in terms of just sitting down and wanting to watch a fun football game, there really hadn't been a whole lot of that either.
Yeah. Even so, we're recording this on Wednesday, and the lineup for Thursday, you know, I'm looking at it, I'm like Syracuse, Minnesota, like Oklahoma. I guess Oklahoma FSU is kind of interesting. Having FSU kind of back in air quotes is exciting. And then, of course, Texas awaiting the arrival of Arch Manning. But overall, not a great slate. Fortunately, we have Saturday. And that's when the big games are. TCU, Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia. I guess we could start. Is there one of those that you think is going to be the better game?
I think both favorites are deserving touchdown or better favorites. It's possible that Ohio State can give Georgia a game, but they've really got to prove it physically that they're up to the challenge. Because if Ohio State got manhandled by Michigan, Georgia's a better version of Michigan. I mean, they do the same things in terms of just running power football at you, knocking you off the line of scrimmage on both sides, and dominating games that way. And so if you lost by 22 points to Michigan, there's a chance that Georgia absolutely punishes them. Now, again, the one thing you've got a great quarterback and great wide receivers. And if you can just turn this into a little bit of a track meet, you're not going to be able to run the ball. But if Ohio State can turn it into a little bit of a track meet, then maybe we've got a chance for a shootout that's fun. But otherwise, I think they don't match up very well inside.
It's weird because Ohio State for much of the season was like, all right, they're a top four team. They're awesome. Then they get kind of blown out, I would say, by Michigan. Most of it was second half, some fluky big plays, but they happened. And it's like everybody just wrote them off, and now here they are in the playoff. I don't even know if people are that excited about the whole C.J. Stroud aspect. I mean, Pat, this is a guy who could be a top five pick, maybe the number one overall pick, and there's really not much being said about them. It's all about Georgia.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, obviously we're all a little bit prisoner of the moment. And the last moment for Ohio State was dreadful. It was just terrible. So that does stick with you. And the problem there, you know, Jason, they lost last year to Michigan and spent the whole offseason like, we're going to become tougher. We're going to become better on defense. And then you get around to the game again and they get blown out again. And yeah. So that's where really the credibility, the doubts, I think, have come into play. And C.J. Stroud's a really good player. I still think he has some things to prove. He's throwing to elite wide receivers, which helps. So I still think that, you know, he's got to show that he can win a big game as a starter. He's 0-2 against Michigan, hasn't made a Big Ten championship game. Stetson Bennett has accomplished more in terms of team accomplishments. I don't think he's as good a player as C.J. Stroud, but you know, he's been there and done that more than C.J. has to this point.
Last year, if memory serves, Georgia lost the SEC title game, right?
Yep.
And then they go on and win the championship. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder if there is that extra motivation for Ohio State, not even making the conference championship game. Everybody doubts them. Can Ryan Day rally these guys? Now, there has been a little bit of money that came on the underdog. It was 7, and now it's pretty much 6.5 everywhere. I just wonder, where are you on Ryan Day? Because, you know, I love to see the stats of how he dominates the Big Ten, but Pat, the last two Michigan performances, I don't know. I mean, Ryan Day, I thought he could have written his ticket anywhere he wanted to go, maybe in the NFL, heading into that Michigan game, because he really only had one Big Ten loss. And now it's just like, well, Ohio State fans are out on him. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, his record's 45-5, and Ohio State fans are out on him, yeah. Which tells you a little bit about Ohio State and what the expectation is. And Ryan Day said as much at Big Ten Media Day in July. I was there, and he said, you know, 11-2, which was their record last year, is a successful season. Most places, it's not at our place. And so right there, okay, the expectation is, we win the Big Ten. We play for the national title. They have not gotten that done the last couple of years. I think he's a really good coach. I don't think his job's in jeopardy, but the fan base could make it miserable enough for him that he might say, you know, maybe I should listen to some of these NFL overtures. You just never know. Like if they end this season, like they got the great opportunity, they get into the playoff, kind of back their way in, but they get in. Now you've got a chance to win the national title. You also have a chance to get smashed twice in a row to end the season. And if that happens, there's just going to be a lot of unhappy Ohio State fans. And it was interesting kind of listening to the Ohio State players here. They are sick to death of hearing about how badly they played against Michigan. And so there is some parallel there because Georgia was in this position last year. They had a month to hear about their flop against Alabama. But that Georgia team was a great team and everybody knew it. They literally did have a bad day. Ohio State has to prove that it's more than just a bad day, that they're really that good.
Is there a whiff of Mark Richt at Georgia with Ryan Day? Like a really good coach, he's going to win a lot of games, but it's just not enough for this fan base. You've got to beat Michigan, and you got to win a national championship again.
Maybe so. You know, I mean, I think we'll probably need a couple more years to let that develop maybe and see if that's really the case, but it's not out of the question that that's the deal. I mean, if you go back 2019, which was his first full-time year, they make the playoff. 2020, they make the playoff and they destroyed Clemson in the semifinal.
That's right.
And right then and there, you're like, oh boy, you know, this guy's really got it going. But then they get destroyed by Alabama in the championship game. And since then, yeah, it's like, what have you done since beating that Clemson team? Do you have any really great wins? No.
Yeah. Interesting setup there. Now, TCU, Michigan, I don't know if it has the juice of the other one. There's like excitement around TCU. It might be dulled a little bit given their Big 12 championship loss. But I kind of like this team a little bit, but I don't like their chances against Michigan. But I think TCU is a fun watch, if that makes sense.
Oh, they're super fun. You know, I mean, first of all, they play a lot of close, dramatic games. They've been a big come-from-behind team. You can never count them out. Max Duggan is a baller. You know, he just makes stuff happen. He's a very good runner in addition to being a big play vertical passer. Quentin Johnston, 6'4 receiver, you know, great deep threat, great ball skills. So, you know, he's fun to watch. And then their running back, Kendre Miller, is another really, really good player. So they've got guys on offense. The defense is where the question is. Can they stand up against Michigan's running game? Can they get off the field? You know, can they tackle and can they cover? I don't know if they can, but I think they should be able to score a little bit against Michigan to keep that interesting.
Which sets up what everybody thinks, Michigan, Georgia, probably the two best teams all season. I don't know. Again, I've seen a lot of Michigan and teams thinking they have a chance against SEC in the championship and they get destroyed. Can you talk yourself into Michigan keeping that one close, assuming that game happens?
You know, let's wait and see, I guess, how Michigan looks this week and how Georgia looks. But right. No, right now I can't. As a matter of fact, I'm working on a Georgia story, and I spent about an hour today looking back at that great game last year against Michigan and how badly they just physically punked them. You know, I mean, play after play after play of just knocking them backwards. And that's Michigan's game. And Georgia was better at it. Now, this Georgia team doesn't quite have the dominance on defense as that one, but they're still – a great defensive team, and they're a better offensive team. So if you ask me, I think this is Georgia's championship to lose again this year.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't want to make it sound like it's going to be a bloodbath, but I just think back to that Oregon game, what they did in the first game of the season. I know Oregon had a lot of new stuff, but it was like, oh, Oregon's got a chance, 2 touchdowns. Yeah, it'll be close. And it was like 49-3. It was, I mean, it was over so quickly. A quick word on Stetson Bennett. So I just looked up his record in college football, 24-3. Okay, two more wins. He ends up 26-3 with two national championships. And I'm trying to put it in context, Pat, because I know the defense has led this team. But, I mean, are we looking at a guy who is just like an average quarterback, or is he something more special than that, given his run and the playoff runs?
Yeah, he's more special than average. There's no doubt about that. I don't see him playing in the NFL. He is 5'9", and his arm strength is okay. You know, a lot of people like say, well, Drew Brees, well, Russell Wilson. Well, those are two guys out of like the last 25 years. So it doesn't happen that often. He's a great college player, though. I mean, he's really good. He's smart. He's fearless. He's athletic. You know, he's not afraid to make mistakes. He will take chances. He will make some throws. Maybe you're like, ooh, I don't know about that. Or he'll scramble around. But he makes it happen. Team believes in him completely, and he's a wonderfully stubborn, prideful, at times cocky guy, you know? Yeah. I mean, he carries himself like a guy, almost like you have to carry yourself. If you're a walk-on that they didn't want and they gave jersey number 22 when he came into the program, like just begging you to become a defensive back, it's like, no, forget that. I'll go on the scout team, and I'll beat your ass on the scout team, and then you can't get rid of me. And he just keeps working up the depth chart, getting his chance, and that's who he is. He is a spit-in-your-eye competitor who just loves that opportunity to show people that he's better than you think he is.
It's interesting because in the NFL, Pat, I feel like stats matter more, that and championships matter more. But in college football, there's this weird thing about simply winning. Like, Tim Tebow was one of the quintessential winners in college football. I mean, you look at a guy like Jameis Winston, awesome. But I don't know where Stetson Bennett would, like, rank in some mythical college football quarterback list. Like, does he even make any of these lists? Like, Charlie Ward, totally dominant, awesome player. I don't know what to do with Stetson Bennett.
That's a good question. I'm not sure what you do with him either, other than the fact that, like, he'll never pay for a meal or a drink in the state of Georgia again. Oh, all right. Obviously. You know, he's already secured that. His underdog story is unbelievable. But yeah, Tim Tebow, Ken Dorsey, Charlie Ward, those are good examples of guys who maybe were not an NFL fit, but were great college quarterbacks. Tommy Frazier played differently, but still kind of the same thing. Okay. You know, guys that just have a skill set that works really well at that level and have a knowledge and understanding of the game, a coach's confidence. and they're surrounded by other really good players. And so, you know, it just works out really, really well for him. And yeah, he'll own an auto dealership in South Georgia, you know, and live comfortably for 50 years after this if he wants.
Yeah, just putting him in context is difficult for me in college football.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Vredestein tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Vredestein test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I am curious on the coaching moves. Can we go to Deion Sanders real quick? Because sure. There is so much silliness, I feel, Pat, and maybe I'm the one being silly, going around about Deion Sanders is going to dominate the transfer portal and his kid is going to come play quarterback in the Pac-12. And they're going to, and I'm like, guys, do we need to slow down a little bit here? I don't know, Pat, am I being a little negative, Nancy? Where are you on the Deion Sanders Colorado fit?
Well, I think it's fascinating. It's intriguing. Yes. It's the kind of thing that a place like Colorado absolutely needs to take that swing. You know, like Colorado's program has been in the dumps. They don't have a lot to sell. Other than natural beauty, which really doesn't work with recruits all that well. So go get somebody with this magnetic, huge personality that can help you in recruiting. Bring in his guys from Jackson State, and then we'll see who else. He's got he got a flip of a four-star running back who I think was going to go to Notre Dame, who's now committed to Colorado. Yep. Their recruiting will upgrade immediately, whether it stays upgraded, whether it's a long-term thing, that remains to be seen. And then, how good a coach is he? Now, his record's great. His record is fantastic at Jackson State, but it's a step up from the SWAC to the Pac-12 in the Power Five. I think he's going to get players. I think Colorado's going to be a must-watch program for a couple of years. And then we'll just see if it's sustainable.
I'm curious, do you think all this bulletin board material is going to make its way to the Kyle Whittinghams of the world and the Lincoln Rileys, and some teams may want to run it up on Deion next year because he's running his mouth about how they're going to not dominate, but, you know, he's doing a lot of talking in the Pac-12 for a guy who, again, has been in college football for like 8 minutes.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, sure. There's going to be plenty of coaches that I think are going to want to get their piece of Colorado. And look, Colorado will be operating at a talent deficit. This is not an immediate fix. They'll be better, I think, in terms of talent, but better doesn't mean you can stand toe-to-toe with USC and UCLA and Oregon and Washington and Utah. And yeah, some of those programs, I think, would and those coaches who maybe paid a little more dues to get those jobs will be like, okay, all right, Deion, that's fine. You're maybe in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but this is not the Hall of Fame. This is college football game right now. What do you got? So we'll see.
I think it's good for the Pac-12 network for however long that's still lasting, what, like a year or two. It generates some interest. So real quick, the only two other hires that I thought were interesting was Hugh Freeze to Auburn. Now, I had heard that Deion was really upset that Auburn did not even inquire about him. He really thought he had a chance at that job, and that spurred him to push to Colorado. They opt for Hugh Freeze. We know what the stuff he went through, what, 5 years ago? not great, but I guess Auburn's desperate, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, Auburn only cares about one thing. They care about winning, period, you know, and so
ethics.
They're not going to let Hugh Freeze's baggage stop them. That's for sure.
And I am a second chance guy. I like giving people second chances and third and whatever. But
and here he goes. He's got one at a place where, yes, all right, this, if Hugh Freeze is going back into the Power Five, Auburn was the logical destination. As far as Deion there, here's the one thing I will say. You know, if you look at him and his body of work as an athlete, as a coach, everything, it's all in the SEC footprint. He was born in Florida. He was a great two-way athlete in Atlanta. He was a Hall of Fame corner in Dallas, which is now SEC territory. He coached in Jackson, Mississippi. He recruited across the South. He got great players from all over the SEC to come to an HBCU. If he goes big and all the SEC schools passed on him, that's a bad look for the SEC, which has pretty bad minority hiring record already.
Oh,
so, yeah.
I hadn't thought about that angle. How many minority coaches in the SEC right now?
Zero.
Oh, I can't even think of the last one.
Let's see. Derek Mason at Vanderbilt.
Ooh, that was a rough go. wow, that's an interesting angle, Pat. I had not thought about that. I am curious, though. A lot of these kids who are, you know, the recruits now, like, what do they know Deion from? Because they were not even born, I don't think, when he was starring in the 90s, right?
Right, yeah.
So you know, he's just like a social media sensation or something, right?
He is that, and that's one of the things he's marketed the heck out of himself at Jackson State. I mean, he's got his own little production company following him around all the time, recording everything he's done there. But, you know, he is one of those guys, and I think we are getting to that point, you know, where the parents of a lot of the players who are being recruited, they remember Deion and how exciting he was and what a great athlete and everything. So, I mean, you excite the family, that can at least be your entree into talking to the kid. Your home visit's going to go really well. I remember when you played prime. I remember when you did this. I remember you did that. You know, that sort of thing can at least resonate for a while.
That's a great point. The other one was Luke Fickell, Wisconsin. I don't know. I keep thinking Wisconsin's going the route of Nebraska and fading into irrelevance as they could never seem to win a big game. But I don't know. I like Luke Fickell a lot. I feel like that's like kind of an A-plus hire.
I think it was the best hire in the whole coaching cycle. And, I'm a fan of the Deion hire, too. But in terms of a guy that you absolutely know can coach, I mean, Luke Fickell put together 5-6 great years at Cincinnati. Consistency, you know, ran a great program, recruited well, developed incredibly well. You got all, I mean, they had 9 guys get drafted last year from Cincinnati. So that they know how to identify and how to develop. And I think he will go into Wisconsin and do a really good job there. And that, you're right, that's that program that it's kind of bumped up against a very good level. It hadn't been able to get to great. So can they do that? Can he be the guy that gets them over the top and has them really looking eye to eye with Michigan and Ohio State? We'll see, but I think it gives them a chance. And I like that Wisconsin thought outside of the box because they've been, you know, it's been good, but they've been kind of the same Barry Alvarez family tree, solid, dependable old Wisconsin. Now at least we're going to see, all right, they're going to break the mold a little bit. Let's see what happens.
Interesting. All right, and we can wrap up, Pat. I know you're a big Denver Broncos fan on the NFL front, and I saw some of your tweets about the Hackett situation. Russ, I mean, I'm just going to give you the floor to rant for a moment if you want to get it off your chest. You know, this is a safe space. A lot of Denver Broncos fans listening to the podcast. I mean, I think everybody was wrong about Russell Wilson. Nobody had this coming. Total disaster. Your thoughts on, you know, the new CEO saying the head coach reports to me. Patton whiffing all around. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, like a disaster of epic proportion. Maybe the worst set of decisions made in NFL history, if you look, because they are tethered to Russell Wilson through like 2025, all the draft picks, all the money. And so you're tethered to a washed up quarterback who, like, Pete Carroll probably knew, right? I'm guessing Pete Carroll knew. And so he must have been like, really, you're going to give us all that for Russell Wilson? Okay. All right. Where do we sign? And then you bring in an absolutely inept coach. And it's the third straight coach Denver has hired with no head coaching experience. And he was the worst of the three. Follow Vance Joseph, follow Vic Fangio. And this guy can't get out of his own way. He can't make any key decisions. It was unbelievable to watch. I mean, this was Denver with a very good defense. If your offense is just bad, you might have a 500 record. But it's not bad. It's worse than bad. It's way worse than bad. It's pitiful. It's the worst offense I've ever seen. So, you know, here we are, and we're stuck. So I don't know what to do other than, you know, grit my teeth and keep watching.
Well, can Russ can be fixed, right? I mean, we have like an 8-year body of work where he was incredible, top 10 quarterback, and everything fell apart. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you're plugged in Denver. I work with, you know, Mark Schlereth at Fox, and he says he's hearing not good stuff about just Russ, like, kind of being a celebrity walking around. And I don't know. Can this be salvaged? It can't be over for the guy, right?
I don't know. I mean, it can't be. I mean, there's times when quarterbacks are done. I'm not sure how old Troy Aikman was when he hung it up, but he didn't go late 30s, I don't believe. And Russell's, you know, a lot of his stuff is mobility and escaping and that sort of thing. And he sure didn't show much of that this year. His arm looked terrible. I mean, and yeah, this whole idea that, you know, I need all these things around me. It was like, well, not after this year. You better just show up and be a team member and try not to suck. All right. That's all. Yeah. That's the bottom line you're looking for at this point. So
tough out there in the quarterback streets, Pat.
It is.
You want to draft a guy in the third or fourth? Hendon Hooker, maybe?
Maybe. Hey, you know what? I'm fine with drafting somebody and giving him a shot. Absolutely. Yeah. And then next year, like, here's the only problem, too, Jace. Like, again, our draft picks are gone. Next year, it's going to be Caleb Williams and Drake May, 1-2. Two guys that could be superstar quarterbacks. And Denver certainly could be bad enough, but they don't have the pick. So,
yeah. Oh, hey, well, since you brought up Drake May real quick, what did you make of that report from, I think it was a Pitt coach, saying that a school or two were offering him $5 million to transfer?
Yeah, that was garbage. And Drake May shot it down himself. You know?
Really?
Yeah. He talked to ESPN last week and said that nobody offered him $5 million. You know, and that's kind of the thing I don't like about, you know, the NIL collective transfer portal stuff is the coaches have gone so alarmist. Mm. They're just repeating every bad rumor they hear. And it's like you're making your own sport look bad. He's not being offered $5 million for one thing, okay? But if he is, good for Drake May. Congratulations, son. You know, but these coaches just spew out all of the scary stories that they hear and these inflated numbers about, oh, this school's got $15 million, that school's got $20 million. That's not what I'm hearing.
Interesting. Now, I hadn't thought about this. So you think Narduzzi is basically just hearing stuff and floating it out of anger? Because he did have Jordan Addison taken from him, right? And he can't be thrilled about that. But isn't that par for the course with coaches, Pat? We've seen coaches just say, I'm out. I'm leaving. Bye.
Totally is. You know what? I mean, Luke Fickell went through the transfer portal, wound up in Wisconsin. Dion went through the transfer portal to Colorado. You know, That's business in football. But for some reason, it's a big problem when it happens with players.
Yeah, I love it. All right, good stuff, Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated. Happy holidays, Pat. Enjoy the playoff, and a happy new year to you and your family.
Hey, Jason, thank you. Same to you. Enjoyed being on with you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.